Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Jay Savinier, the president of Aristocrat subsidiary VGT, and Matt Wilson, Aristocrat's managing director for the Americas, about the remarkable success of the company, particularly its North American operations over the past few years. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by Questback, the smart choice for the gaming industry's workforce requirements. In an era of rampant corporate misconduct, organizations need to leverage their most valuable asset, their people. Questback specializes in fostering that dialogue, delivering invaluable insight to organizations around the world on the most challenging governance, risk, and compliance initiatives. Whether it's internal misconduct reporting and workplace response or organizational cultural development and leadership assessments, Questback delivers the invaluable insight that drives exceptional organizations. To learn more, visit questback.com. From the Buffalo to the Lightning Link, Dominance in Class 2 to the Realm Steppers, Aristocrat Technologies has been doing very well over the past few years, thank you. Credit for that starts with Matt Wilson, Aristocrat's Managing Director of the Americas, and Jay Savinier, the president of the company's VGT subsidiary, which was acquired a few years ago. Both have directed talented teams of engineers, game designers, marketing and sales staff, and others that have elevated Aristocrat to one of the industry giants. Wilson's rise through the ranks of the company have hit every base, and Savinier brought VGT's Class 2 Edge and Stepper machines to fill the void at Aristocrat. Aristocrat's recent appearance at G2E has only reinforced the sense that the company is continuing to hit home runs. The two met with me and editor Frank Legato at G2E in early October to talk about the company's strategy in North America. Matt Wilson and Jay Savinier, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. Busy day here at G2E, so we appreciate you coming down here and taking some time with us.
Yeah, it feels very well attended. It's day two. Yesterday was a packed house, and I think the sentiment from the customer base is their businesses are doing well, and when their businesses are doing well, it always flows on to be good for us.
Of course, no question.
Exciting first day.
What's your home run this year?
Product. I think the evolution of Aristocrat, if we were here 3 or 4 years ago, we might have had a home run. I think we have multiple this year.
It's,
we've been assembling this cast of game designers over the last few years, these kind of big hitters, and we have them all swinging for the fences, and luckily I think they've knocked a couple of them out of the park this year. But I think there's a follow-on product from Lightning Link, from Scott Olive, called Dollar Storm,
right,
which is a must-have. We have a product called Buffalo Diamonds, which is... It's on the flame cabinet. It's actually Buffalo's 10th anniversary, and if you're both married, so
right.
The 10th wedding anniversary is the diamond wedding anniversary, so
right. Okay.
It's Buffalo Diamond Edition
that
for the 10-year anniversary. And then I think there's an amazing lineup of Class 2 products, which is something that VGT and Aristocrat have been working on for quite a few years now, post the acquisition of VGT, and you'll see on the booth an array of different kind of market-leading cabinets and game design content that we think is going to light up the Class 2 market. So there's a few there.
Yeah, for VGT, this reflects a commitment of about 45 games that are going to be introduced to the market this year.
Mm-hmm.
We've got about 70 different games on the floor, and that's just record-setting for us to be able to come to the market with that kind of an inventory and the quality behind it as well.
Sure, great. Now, is this the strength of your design team... is that how you're meeting? I mean, the competition is still intensifying and solidifying. Is that how you're staying one step ahead?
Yeah, I think it's like talent is the key for us across every part of our business.
Mm-hmm.
The success that we've had isn't by accident. I think at the core of our philosophy is hire great people and then create the right performance conditions for them to do what they do best. And we've managed to assemble great talent in the game design area, in the commercial area, back of house. It's it's really people and culture that are behind what's driving our organization at the moment.
And you've just added another one in Alon Engelman.
Yeah, I mean, we believe there's lots of different market segments out there, game segments, and there's game designers in each of these different categories that are the best at what they do. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we've been sourcing them. That's one of the keys to our success, is finding the best game design talent and then creating the right studio structure for them to be successful. I think what the game designers love is that they are working amongst a team of great game designers. Mm-hmm. And so what that allows them to do is be innovative, take risks, take some chances, because they know when you've got that kind of batting lineup, someone's going to hit a home run, and not every at-bat has to be an absolute success. So having this kind of portfolio of game designers kind of de-risks the environment for game designers to be successful, sure. If that makes sense.
Do you have a healthy competition between the studios too?
There's always that. I mean, I think that is a healthy thing. Everyone's right. Trying to raise the bar. You know, you don't get to the next level by being complacent, so they kind of challenge each other and challenge themselves to be successful.
Yeah, I think everyone's looking at Scott Olive with Lightning Link and Dollar Storm, and you know, right. They'd love to be the leader in the next year, so it's a great incentive.
Well, you know, all these games that you mentioned there with the Buffalo and the Lightning Link, I mean, these are, spectacular hits. You're the leader in the industry from delivering those kind of things. But your competition copies them immediately. So how do you stay ahead of the game technology-wise and also content-wise?
I mean, it's something we're very proud of. The Buffalo brand, which I talked to, is 10 years old. It's a billion-dollar brand.
Sure. Yeah.
So you walk the booth up there or any of the competitors' booths, and there's a lot of licensed IP.
Right.
But nothing quite as powerful as that homegrown brand in Buffalo that we built mm-hmm. in a small little Australian studio 10 years ago. And then you got things like Lightning Link, which is, again, another billion-dollar brand. And I think the ability to create these brands that really resonate with players is pretty remarkable. And then having the IP be native to Aristocrat, you know, we don't have to answer to any licensor about what we can and can't do with the brands.
Right.
So it gives us a lot of freedom to extend those brands, take them into different genres and different categories. You know, you'll see a Buffalo Keno game up there mm-hmm. on our bar top product. So it gives us a lot of flexibility. Your point about copying in the industry, I think it is rife throughout the different manufacturers.
Sure.
We like to continue to innovate. I think, manufacturers copying each other doesn't move the industry forward. We like to continue to innovate.
Right.
And I think the hardest part about building a great game is execution. It's all the little nuances.
Sure,
and again,
right.
That goes back to talent and these game designers in the categories just knowing exactly what it takes to please a player.
Right.
Now, how do you maintain a balance between brands like Buffalo and the licensed brands that are coming out of Joe Kamenkow's studio? Gaming operations has certainly been at the forefront of Aristocrat's recent success. So do you maintain equal balance between the two, or are you still emphasizing operations more?
Yeah, we look at it through a very structured segmentation lens. Like we look at the market and we identify kind of clear trends and clear market segments to participate in. The license category is still a big and important category for us, and where we want to take the business, we have to compete in all segments because mm-hmm. we want to become a clear market leader. So we licensing is still a big part of what we do, but we complement that with the internal proprietary stuff. A good example of that's PBR with what we're doing in the VGT space.
Yeah, that's the first time that we really come out with a licensed brand, the Pro Bull Riders mm-hmm. Linked Progressive. We're really happy. It's a great theme for us, and we're able to do this because now that we're part of the Aristocrat family, we get to take advantage of the link technologies that Aristocrat has to offer. We couldn't do that before, so it's
sure.
a great example of what another one of the benefits we get from being in the family.
Right.
But also, we have a number of our proprietary brands: Mr. Moneybags, Hot Red Ruby, Lucky Ducky, Polar High Roller, and so we've had a lot of success in developing our own proprietary brands.
Sure, sure, no question.
Now, I would like to talk a little bit about just the stepper category in general. How involved were you in helping Aristocrat develop the Realm series?
The journey of VGT has been a journey of continuing to integrate into the Aristocrat family, and one of the early ways we did that is we took our D&D staff that works on the games and the steppers, and we moved them into the Aristocrat oversight. So they're still internally branded as VGT employees, but they were very involved in mm-hmm. doing a lot of the firmware development for the new Realm stepper cabinet. So VGT has a lot of pride in the development of that, mm-hmm. but really that development continued under the oversight of Aristocrat developers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was one of the beautiful things about that acquisition is we had complementary skill sets. We're at our core a Class 3 video company, and at VGT's core they're a Class 2 stepper company. So you bring those two things together and with very complementary skill sets and, you know, underpinned by very common core values, I think it's been a merger of great success. Yeah.
When it comes to the corporate culture, are you merging that as well with VGT and Aristocrat, or is it still going to be two separate companies, you know, just under the same umbrella?
Yeah, I think it's coming on 4 years now that we made the acquisition. I think we identified very early that when we looked at the kind of core values of the two organizations, it was clear that they were very, very similar, mm-hmm. Just by chance. And so it didn't take a lot to, you know, synthesize those two. Now, the culture displays itself slightly different in different offices around the world for Aristocrat. We have offices in Austin mm-hmm. and Franklin and Tulsa and London and Australia and Macau. And, our core values, the principles by which we run the business are common across all those different facilities, but it's slightly different, nuanced in the way it presents itself.
And also in Oklahoma, VGT is a very, very strong commercial brand.
Right.
And VGT has a slightly different way of servicing customers in Oklahoma, mm-hmm. which is driven really by the density of the business that
right.
we have. So we have employees that literally, you know, live in the market and mm-hmm. an office at the casino that they're supporting. And so there are some differences in the VGT brand that are they're going to stay. You know, it's a model that we're committed to.
Right.
The VGT brand is a commercial brand we're committed to. But then behind the scenes, we continue to work to make it as easy for us to work together. And we are continuing to move towards common systems and common processes.
Okay, great. Just talk about Class 2 for a second here. We've got some of these compacts where Class 2 machines don't count against the number of games you can have, and they're growing certainly in California, I know Oklahoma, and other states as well. Are there other areas that you see Class 2 growing in, certainly with a state like Texas where there's a couple of small tribal casinos there?
Well, in a Class 2 only location, mm-hmm. Our games are increasingly popular because mm-hmm. we're now bringing all the great features of Class 3 into
right.
the Class 2 platform. Mm-hmm. In what I call hybrid casinos, where they can have both,
right.
Most of those markets are pretty mature.
Yeah.
And so there's growth opportunities, but not, robust. I'd say
right.
the markets are pretty well developed.
Mm-hmm.
We are very pleased that we were able to bring product into South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so there are VGT games
right.
down there on
sure.
the Ovation platform, and they're doing very well.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Now, how has the reception been to your first bar top product? That's got to be exciting.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it, when you walk on the booth, it doesn't have the same cachet or aesthetic kind uh-huh. of look about it that some of our big oversized games do, but it's a segment of the market that's ripe for innovation. I think our strategy is very simple there. You know, this is a footprint in the operator's floor where they yield a whole percentage of 3% video poker. And so we're trying to bring great slot content to that space and allow operators to yield up in terms of the whole percentage, get 8, 9, 10% from mm-hmm. great slot content. So, again, we're taking our favorite brand in Buffalo to that space. So we're taking Buffalo Gold, which is the number one game in the Class 3 video space. If you look at all the Eilers research, it's the number one game mm-hmm. Performing in casinos. We're taking that to the bar top space to sit alongside poker and keno. Mm-hmm. And so, again, the feedback from customers has been they've been looking for innovation in that category for some time, and they're happy that we're delivering it. So it's been well received.
Do you have any poker product in that bar top?
Yeah, we absolutely do. Yeah, okay. So we went and hired some talent that knows poker very well. So this is their product. And so we have a full suite of poker products in that multi-game.
Okay.
We have a suite of Keno and then a range of different video slot content. And then we'll be evolving that as we go forward.
Okay,
yep.
great.
We'd be moving into any other product areas to expand your portfolio, such as EGTs?
We're taking a close look at EGTs. Again, it comes back to what's important to our customers is important to us. And if ETGs is going to be a growing category, mm-hmm. then we'll look to take a position in that market. But some of the other areas that we're really exploring kind of the next 1 or 2 years is we've just gone live in Washington State in the Class 3 space. So.
Mm-hmm.
With Tulalip, our casino partner up there, is our launch partner in
right.
Washington. So that's a huge market for us that we haven't participated in before.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big one for us. We're also opening up the VLT market. So we're live in Atlantic Lotteries Commission. We're going live in Manitoba in the next month, so that's another huge growth opportunity for us. We're looking at the Illinois VGT market. We're looking at many other adjacent opportunities where we can take our core competency and move into a market segment where operators want us to be. And a lot of these smaller market segments that we're entering are really dominated by two other manufacturers, and so they're looking for competition. It's healthy. Right. It makes those segments vibrant for operators.
So you're growing really quickly. How do you keep up with servicing the customers and retaining employees and innovation?
Yeah, it's a clear focus for us. I mean, the vision that we have for the business is we want to become a clear market leader in North America. And I think if we stated that 3 or 4 years ago, the delta between where we were and where we wanted to be would be just too great. People may have laughed at us to have that ambition. But, off the back of the momentum we've built over the last 2 or 3 years, we think the market's ready for a market leader. And when I say market leader, I don't just mean the company that sells the most stuff.
Sure,
obviously, that is important to shareholders. But to be a market leader in the way we lead our people, the way we invest for innovation, the way we develop the market. So, we're really focused on becoming a market leader. And that is, central to some of the decisions we make around internal processes and systems. And, we're investing in a new ERP system, a new CRM system. Mm-hmm. Also, it can become easier to do business with and easier to work for our employees.
New office spaces in Las Vegas to bring our teams together to work more effectively. Mm-hmm. And a lot of fun spaces inside that to create the work environment that motivates people.
Sure. So is this all reflected in the campaign, it's all about what's inside? Is that supposed to encompass this whole thing?
I think what we're trying to say there is, the industry recognizes us for our great product.
Right.
But it doesn't happen by accident. It really comes back to hiring great people and creating the right environment for them to do their best work. And that's all comes to life with what you see in terms of the output, which is the product. But it's what's inside the organization in terms of our culture. So it's not widely known that the key differentiator for us is the culture that we've built at Aristocrat.
Okay.
And we're proud of that. And we're spending a lot of money to continue to invest in it and develop it. We want to be the employer of choice in the gaming sector. So, people listening out there, if you're looking for a company that wants to invest in its people and build a great culture, knock on our door. We're hiring, we're expanding quickly, and we're looking to take on people who, aspire to the same vision that we do to be a market leader and be a great partner for casino operators.
Great.
Tell us a little bit about the new headquarters, the new facility.
Yeah, I mean, this is exciting. So we're opening a new campus in Summerlin. And this brings together, we've been expanding so rapidly that we have these disparate facilities here in Las Vegas, which is not the perfect environment today to create, the world's greatest gaming experience. So we wanted to bring everyone in Las Vegas under one roof in Summerlin. And so we have 1,100 employees here locally across all different functions from HR, finance, accounting, sales, marketing, game design, supply chain. So we wanted to bring everyone together in an environment where we could create the right amount of collisions between all those different functions to spark the energy that you need to be a true market leader.
Sure.
So we're moving in there just after Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be an orderly transition. We won't all move in on day one. There'll be chaos with 1,100 employees, but we'll move in over a series of weeks. But everyone's really excited to be in a facility that's purpose-built to create the right environment for us to be successful.
Now, is there any assembly of physical production facility there?
Yeah, so we own a facility in Las Vegas, our Bircher facility, we call it. So we're also renovating that facility to make sure it can handle the capacity that we're putting through that facility. So, both of our sites. So we're moving from the Our Amigo facility to Summerlin, but we're also reinvesting in our Bircher facility, our manufacturing facility, to get the same environment for people to be successful. Yeah.
Okay.
How many R&D, what's the split of R&D between Las Vegas, Australia?
It's all over now. So we have Australia, we have multiple offices in Australia, we have an office in Reno, we have an office in Las Vegas, we have an office in, or two offices in Atlanta, we have one in Franklin, we have one in Austin. So,
these are all development studios.
Noida, yeah. So we're trying to move all of that production and D&D to tech hubs around the globe. And again, it comes back to wherever there's great talent, let's go there and try to figure out how we get them to join the organization so we can continue to make great games. And I think from a consumer perspective and an operator perspective, the bar's getting higher and higher and higher. Like, they're expecting, more elaborate, high quality games, and so we have to find the great talent and bring them to Aristocrat.
Sure.
And technology really allows you to facilitate collaboration mm-hmm. across continents and time zones. So, you know, I think we've really demonstrated a skill at doing that.
Right. So which one of your studios came up with a professional bull riders game? I have to think the one in Oklahoma.
That would be our Virginia, Charlottesville,
okay.
Virginia.
All right,
yeah.
Charlottesville. Huh?
Yeah, which we didn't mention that one.
But yeah, right.
A great example where you know, we had a group of employees that, well, we used, VGT used to have a larger presence there.
Right.
We moved it to Franklin, but there was a group there that we knew could really provide a lot of value to mm-hmm. us. So we stood up another office, and they're putting out just terrific product for us.
Right. And how has that been received?
It's been well received in the market.
Yeah.
It's I think they just, the PBR folks are really happy
yeah.
with the way that we executed the theme.
Mm-hmm.
There's some fun features in there about our red screen free spins and how they count down,
sure,
you know,
right.
the 8 second
right.
You know, ride. So it's real popular, and once again, this is something we've been able to do because we can take advantage of the Aristocrat wide area technology.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm sure it's going to do better than Sigma tried that brand some years ago.
I didn't know that. You're quite the historian of
yes,
all
yes.
things games.
I tried that brand. It fell flat on its face.
Right, okay. Yeah, we'll do better.
Sigma, who's Sigma?
Yeah, yeah.
So. It was shortly before they were gone.
Too. Right, okay.
Let's talk about the sponsor for this episode. Questback works with clients around the world, including one-third of the Forbes list. Questback powers transformative organizations through the power of feedback-driven insights. Sexual harassment, whistleblowing, gender pay discrimination, conflicts of interest, corruption. In an era of rampant corporate misconduct and heightened public scrutiny, organizations must leverage their most valuable asset, their people. When do they see that on a daily basis? What are issues or risks in the front lines? Do your employees understand corporate policies? What are your organizational risks on the ground floor? QuestBack specializes in fostering that dialogue. Visit their website at questback.com to learn more about QuestBack's solutions for internal misconduct reporting, whistleblowing, governance, and compliance initiatives.
Jay, you've got a background in gaming operations. You know, you ran a couple of hotels here in Vegas for a while, and so you understand, you know, what the operator is looking for. How does that help you, you know, relate to the operator and what they want, and also certainly what the player wants?
Well, I think that in our business, which VGT is very much a gaming ops business,
mm-hmm.
we have the lease share model.
Right.
It makes you a partner with your customers.
Right.
And so we are just perfectly aligned in our goals of
mm-hmm.
doing everything to drive business in the casino. And so when it comes to promotions and it comes to us, you know, working out any type of a cooperative agreement with them to add games on the floor, change them out, we also, you know, we've got about 25,000 games on the ground. And so it really makes us one of the largest operators
mm-hmm.
of, you know, with our partner casinos.
Right.
But we are perfectly aligned in optimizing those gaming floors. So
mm-hmm.
I think that I'll, you know, it certainly helps to understand what their needs are.
Right. And do you understand also, you know, some of their problems with the pricing structures and things like that?
Yeah. But when you're good partners with your customers,
mm-hmm.
I think you go into those conversations respecting
right.
what everyone kind of needs out of the relationship,
mm-hmm.
and when you do that, I think you have successful outcomes.
Okay. Now let's talk about the interactive segment for a while, a minute here. You've done a couple of acquisitions in that field, and where do you see that going?
Yeah, so as an organization, we're committed to keep growing,
mm-hmm.
and. Yeah, we're looking at opportunities that are closely connected to our core competencies. And when you look at Aristocrat at its foundations, we're a games company.
Mm-hmm.
We create games, we
sure.
create software. And so we look at the digital categories and we think, you know, they're aligned to what we do as an organization. And we started that journey with Product Madness,
mm-hmm.
which is probably 5 years ago now.
Right,
we
right.
bought that company for a you know, very small amount of money. It was, you know, $23 million, I think
mm-hmm.
the number was, and it's valued, you know, well over $1 billion today. So we've seen the value you can create in the digital segment. So we've had some success there. We've built some great capability in the digital arena. So we've taken that. We made an acquisition of Big Fish that
mm-hmm. right.
closed earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're working hard to bring that business under the umbrella, and we're excited by that. And then we've also made a large acquisition in Plarium, which is a very different market segment in terms of the consumer base there. You know, the traditional Class 3 casino customers skews very heavily female. It's older demographic, you know, 55 is kind of the sweet spot there. If you look at the Plarium business, it skews male and it skews younger. So it gives us access to a whole new market segment. Again, both of those businesses had unique capabilities that, you know, once we bring them into the organization, we can learn from. So it kind of makes the business stronger and more robust. But at our core, we are a casino land-based provider, and that doesn't change. That's that's the business that brought us to the dance, and we stay, you know, firmly committed to that. But, you know, these adjacencies in the digital arena are certainly aligned to our core competency, and you know, they've been beneficial in continuing to grow the business.
And how about skill games? You know, that seems to be an area of the market people are looking at, but I don't know if it's really growing. Are you going to wait to see what happens in that area, or do you have some plans in the works?
Yeah, it's been an active dialogue for 3 years, and you know, the feedback from operators is kind of bifurcated. Some customers are saying, yes, we're interested in you to in innovating in that segment, and many others say, don't waste your energy, spend the money on the core gaming segments and, you know, making sure my core players are engaged and are staying profitable. So we are taking a bit of a back seat there and watching how the segment evolves. It hasn't evolved as quickly as we thought it would, but we are ready. We spend a lot of money every year on design and development, and we have great design talent. So if we see an opportunity emerging there, we'll jump in quickly. It hasn't presented itself yet, but we watch it very closely.
Now, you've had a new CEO for about a year and a half. It's not a new CEO anymore, but you know, he had a very tough act to follow. Has it been a seamless transition as far as product planning and as far as the roadmap?
Yeah, I think Trevor's been with the organization, I think, coming on 10 years now, so he's not new to the business.
Right.
He's maybe new to the North American market, but you know, our employees know him well. He came up through the ranks here at Aristocrat, and you know, a lot of the success that was driven here was driven as a consequence of Trevor's leadership in different roles. And the foundation that Jamie put in place is really the culture, and that still permeates through the organisation. And we stay committed to all the things that made us great to this point, but then continuing to evolve. So the business has changed a lot in the last 18 months, I would say. These digital acquisitions has changed the profile. So I think the role that Trevor has today is slightly different to the one that Jamie had when he left the business. But yeah, it's been a seamless transition as far as I'm concerned.
And I think VGT has a kind of a special insight on that as an acquired business that's gone through some changes. What I'll say is that the cultural leadership of Aristocrat is really excellent. Jamie did establish that. Trevor worked with them actually in prior businesses before coming here. He's worked with Jamie a long time, and Trevor's done a fantastic job of maintaining the cultural leadership. You know, he was selected. Our board expressed that it was to keep the momentum and the progress that we've got in place going, and I think he's really just done a terrific job of that.
Great. Just one more question. What do you see as the challenges and opportunities of coming forward for both of your divisions here?
I can go first. I think first and foremost, we're the supplier to the gaming sector, so the health of the gaming industry is first and foremost. And you know, as a market leader, as a supplier, we have to continue to make products that help grow the market, to help grow our casino partners. So, making sure that business is vibrant is important to us. Complacency is always one that's on the forefront. You got to be thinking about that. You know, we can't be happy with the success we have. We have to continually raise the bar. I mean, the analogy I use a lot in our business is that we're trying to climb a mountain and we're only halfway up, and no one climbs a mountain to get to the middle.
Right.
So we've got a long way to go, and the things that got us halfway up the mountain are different to the things that we need to get us all the way up. And so we have to continually look inside the organization about how do we strive for excellence and keep being ambitious and trying to drive the business forward.
Okay, great. Jake?
I would say that it's a competitive world out there, and you have to have the best people. And I think that we've done a great job of attracting the industry's best. We're proud of our team. But at the end of the day, every organization is a volunteer organization, because the best stuff comes when people give you their best efforts. And that's when you create the right environment for it. So, we'll stay focused on doing that, getting the best people, creating environments where they can be their best, and I feel really good about our leadership in the industry.
Great. Well, JMN, thanks for joining us. Congratulations on the success of the company over the past couple of years. And as you just said, I think you're going to continue to do that. There's a lot of opportunities, and you're poised to take advantage of them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of the GGB Podcast, brought to you by QuestBack. To learn more about the services provided by this company, visit QuestBack.com. To read more about the spread of the iGaming industry, to read more about Aristocrat and a report on G2E, visit ggbmagazine.com. For weekly updates on all the news of the gaming industry, visit GGB News. And to find the best bonuses and promotions for iGaming and how to attract more players to your legal iGaming site, visit iGamingPlayer.com. Follow us on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz, on Facebook and LinkedIn at Global Gaming Business Magazine. And don't forget to sign up for the UNLV Gaming and Education Hospitality Series this Thursday, October 25th, where esports and sports betting will be addressed. Hear the most experienced and respected experts talk about these hot topics. Sign up to attend the event at UNLV's Stan Fulton Building in person, stream it online, or register to listen to the session at any time. To sign up, visit unlvghes.com. That's it for today, and we hope to see you next week for the GGB Podcast. Right.